This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Rick Newman is a columnist for Yahoo Finance and the author of Rebounders, How Winners Pivot from Setback to Success. More importantly, he has been a frequent guest on this show, and so I've invited him to join me here again today to talk about where we stand on the economy, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to hiring, when it comes to the middle class moving forward. What's our status today?
Hiring has not picked up fast enough. People who do have jobs, a lot of them are making less than they used to. A lot of people have ended up with jobs that pay less than jobs they had a few years ago. And living standards are falling for a lot of people. That's really where the rubber hits the road, is when it comes to quality of life and living standards. And a lot of people have been wondering, why is this happening, and why is it happening to me? And we're getting more of an explanation for why it is the way it is.
But things looked like they were on the right track from 2009 until at least the beginning of this year, when the Fed said we pulled back a few percentage points. Now, here we are about to finish the second quarter of the year, and so things may turn out to be differently. But I thought we were on the right track there for a while, or at least pulling up to the right track.
We are basically on the right track. We're just getting to the destination very, very slowly. So we're now in really going into the sixth year of a recovery, but it obviously doesn't feel like a recovery to a lot of people. And when you look at the data show it is the weakest recovery in a lot of different ways, whether you measure it by GDP or by jobs or by income, weakest recovery since the 1930s, which means technically you call it a recovery, but for a lot of people it doesn't feel like it, and the money's not there, the quality of life is not there. We're moving in the right direction. It's just taking a really, really long time, especially compared to other recoveries, like the one in the early 2000s, early 1990s, early 1980s. The economy recovered much more quickly then than it is now.
Is a lot of that because the jobs haven't come back, or are they coming back?
There's no simple answer to this, I think, Paul. The jobs have not come back nearly as quickly as they should have. You need to ask the question, is that the cause of this slow recovery, or is it a symptom of the slow recovery? And I think it's better to call it a symptom, because what seems to be happening is companies that had to do a lot of cost cutting during the recession, obviously they got rid of a lot of people, and they have found that they don't need to hire back a lot of those people, which they did do in earlier recoveries. Instead, they're substituting technology, machinery, robots, computers for people in a lot of cases. And they also are just waiting for their sales to go up. I mean, that's another reason a lot of companies aren't hiring, because they just don't have the demand that would force them to hire more people. So companies don't go and hire people just because they think they might need them someday. It's a very competitive economy, and companies only hire when they need the people today.
When we talk about the economy, we often hear the phrase income inequality, which has become almost a catchphrase in the last two or three years since the recession hit, meaning that the people at the top end of the spectrum, they're doing okay. It's the people who are in the other 99% who are not doing so well. Is that still true?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. Basically, what's happened is people with the skills that are really necessary in this complex global economy, since about 1980, the people who have those skills have been doing terrifically. I mean, whether they gained those skills deliberately or they just lucked out, they're doing great. I mean, they're earning a lot of money. They have a lot of financial wealth, so they've benefited from this huge stock market rally of the last 5 years. But there's a misconception around this, Paul, and the misconception, I think, is that the wealthy are somehow taking from everybody else, and that's not really what's happening. I think the real problem here is the 70% or the 60% or 50%, whatever it is, but it's a big chunk of the rest of the group there that does not have the right skills and is not benefiting from the global economy, and they feel like they're falling behind. It's not that wealthy people are taking wealth from the other people. It's that the other people don't have the skills, or there's just somehow they're not capitalizing on the economy we have now. I think if incomes were going up for everybody in a pretty healthy way, I don't think we'd be hearing so much about this problem, even if the numbers were the same. The real problem is that incomes for a lot of people are not going up, and for some they're actually going down when you account for inflation, and that has created a lot of tension around haves and have-nots.
There's definitely a skill deficit with a lot of people who don't fit into whatever we call this new economy. But you've also got those people at the top who, you know, that the one percenters who have access to Congress and can lobby to get things written so that they're a little bit more favorable to them when it comes to tax rates or tax cuts, right?
This is crony capitalism, and it is alive and well in the United States, I'm sorry to say. There is mounting evidence, including academic studies and just things we see anecdotally, lots of other stuff, that the people who have the capital, the people who have the wealth, they're the people who have the power, and they are basically able to create a system in which their wealth stays locked in. In other words, everything is favorable to them. And it's a little bit harder to get policies passed that favor everybody else. Now, that this is not 100% true, and you can look at things like Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and there are some other things. I mean, just the fact that President Obama got elected, which went against a lot of big money interests, then he got reelected, so he's been elected twice. That kind of tells you that this, crony capitalists have not completely taken control of the United States government, but they have a lot of control, and they're going to get more because lobbying laws have been loosened and allow the wealthy to contribute even more money to legislators. So that's how you buy policies that work in your favor.
Now, there is one tax that we need to talk about because you wrote about it a few days ago, and that is the gas tax. Why should the gas tax be raised?
Well, the Highway Trust Fund, which is used to pay for roads and bridges and things, interstates mostly, federal roads, not so much state roads, state-maintained roads, but federal roads, it's going broke. And part of the reason it's going broke is the gas tax has been the same, the federal gas tax has been the same for something like 20 years. It's 18.4 cents on every gallon of gasoline. That has not been indexed for inflation. It hasn't gone up. Now, state gas taxes may have gone up. They have gone up in a lot of places, and in some cases those are higher than the federal tax, and that has a lot to do with the price of gasoline in your state, wherever you live. But, we need roads, and you have to pay for them somehow. The gas tax is actually one of the better taxes because the gas taxes actually are used to pay for roads. They are fenced off. They're not allowed to pay for other stuff. In fact, it's been the other way around for a while, where the Congress has had to take money from the general fund to backfill the Highway Trust Fund because it's been running out of money. So this is actually a tax the way we think taxes ought to work, because the people who use the roads are the ones who pay the gas tax. And the alternatives to raising the gas tax are lousy. Either we have crumbling roads or a bunch of other schemes that will not really make people very happy. You could privatize roads, but then private companies would be charging you a toll to go on those roads. We could get monopoly toll power. Nobody likes that. So, we have to pay for roads somehow, and my contention is the gas tax is a pretty good way to do it.
Yeah, and it's to our national shame that our infrastructure is crumbling because we don't have the money to fix it. I mean, I hate orange cones on the highway as much as the next person, but the fact that you can drive down most interstates in this country and not just have potholes, but go over overpasses and bridges that are in disrepair, and there's no money to fix those and make our highways the shining beacon that they were, a generation ago when they were built in the Eisenhower administration. I think it's to our national shame, Rick.
Well, it's not just a matter of national pride, Paul. I mean, this is important for the economy and for commerce. I mean, goods get shipped by roads. they get shipped by rail, too, and I guess by ship and by airplane sometimes. But you need good roads so people can move around, so goods can move around. And this is just the backbone of a healthy economy. So you have to have it, or you have to cede ground to other countries that make that investment. So, we do have the money to do this, Paul. I mean, we are not a poor country, and the United States is not broke, as some people say. What the United States is voters are just disgusted with the government. So I think the part of the problem here is people don't trust the government to spend their money. And that's why people fuss a lot about having to pay these taxes. I mean, I wrote this story, and I keep hearing, we shouldn't have to feed the beast anymore, given that they waste our money on this and this and this. And, that there is dissatisfaction with government, and it shows up in resistance to paying for things we really need to pay for.
Yeah, but the next time you need to get your car fixed because it hit that giant pothole and you wonder why wasn't that fixed, okay, here's
your
answer.
Well, I keep asking people who complain about the gas tax, well, what's your suggestion? How do you think we should pay for roads? And a lot of people, they don't have an answer. They don't know how we should pay for roads. They just think they shouldn't have to pay and somebody else should have to pay. That's not how it works.
Rick Newman is a columnist for Yahoo Finance and the author of Rebounders, How Winners Pivot from Setback to Success. I've appreciated your contributions to this show over the last 15 months. Thanks for joining me again here today, Rick.
It's been a great show, Paul. Thanks.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.